Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
So tomorrow is Memorial Day. What does Memorial Day mean? What does it mean to memorialize? You can answer. This isn't all one-sided. But to memorialize someone means what? To honor them. See, at first I was just thinking, well, what would somebody respond? And they'd say, well, it's to remember. Well, no, I remember the bullies in high school, and that's, I don't want to ever memorialize them. So you're right. To memorialize is to honor. To not only remember, but to place love or respect toward something or some individual. So tomorrow is specifically designed or designated as the day that we memorialize those that have served in our armed forces and have fallen. And I'm not real sure specifically if it was designed for those who fell during service, and I think it's kind of gone on to those who have served and have since passed. But be careful tomorrow. Do not thank your veterans because it's not Veterans Day. Thank them for serving, but don't go up and say Happy Memorial Day to a veteran. That's not the day for them, and they will not be happy for you, because tomorrow is their day to remember their fallen brothers, to remember those that have gone on and fought for their freedom, fought for our freedom, and in some cases gave their lives right in front of them. So Memorial Day is to remember those who have fought for our freedom and have gone on. And I'm going to read a story of a family member of mine that served in Vietnam. Now, I know Vietnam was a questionable, thing that we were involved with, whether it was for American freedom or if it was for the stand that America takes for freedom. But either way, the individuals that fought in Vietnam signed up their lives and signed up their families to serve for this country. So regardless of if you're for the conflict or not, they signed up way before they even knew the conflict was in existence. So let me read this story, and then I want to memorialize three different people today, and I think you'll see where I'm going with this. But for me personally, all three of these individuals fought and secured my freedom for me to be the person that I am today. So this is the obituary and biography of Sergeant Albert Burl Ives. His nickname was Burl. He served in the Vietnam conflict. He was the 1st Platoon in the 2nd Battalion, 506th Infantry of the 101st Airborne Division. His quick obituary says, Albert served in Vietnam in the Army and won several medals. He never married, not sure about children though, never mentioned any. His ashes were brought to Michigan in an urn and buried by family in the woods around Bitely, Michigan, beside his brother Lloyd. We, the family members, called him Junior, or Big Al. He was a great lover of life. And just like a lot of us guys, wish that we could, he was buried in Hunting Camp. So that's cool. I've got a lot of different pictures of him here from guys that served with him. But here's a short little story by Lee Freeman saying, Remembering Sergeant Burl Ives. I was standing next to Sergeant Albert Burl Ives when I took this photograph of Charlie Company leaving Firebase O'Reilly on the 22nd of July, 1970. It was Charlie Company's last combat assault during the 101st Airborne's action around Firebase Ripcord. It was just the second time that Sergeant Ives and I boarded a slick together to sky up off of Firebase. The first time was when Charlie left Firebase Ripcord. When we left Ripcord on May 5, 1970, Rick Thomas and I were the M60 team for Sergeant Ives' squad. For two new guys, Burl was just Sergeant Ives then. Sergeant Ives was a squad leader who looked out for his men and knew how to handle his men during combat operations. Rick and I, as well as many other members of the 1st Platoon, soon came to appreciate this selfless and heroic buck sergeant whose take on just about everything was, "It don't mean nothing." For example, after leaving O'Reilly that July morning, Charlie Company Slicks headed to Hill 605 to support the Delta 2nd mission to extract Delta 1st from Hill 805. When the Hill 605 landing zone came into view, Burl pointed out the red smoke to his squad and shouted, "Hot LZ," or there's firefight going on. Real soon, it was our bird's turn to land. Burl pointed to the LZ's edge, where we were going to regroup, shouting, "Jump and run," just seconds before the bird touched down. As we ran, I tripped over a downed tree branch, falling flat on my face. Looking up, an abandoned NVA, or the Vietnamese pith helmet, was staring me in the face. I got up and ran faster. Burl positioned us on the landing zone's northeast edge to provide security so that two Delta companies could be extracted from the landing zone. The slope below our position was being raked by fire from gunships flying overhead. Unexpectedly, CS gas, or tear gas, gushed through our position, causing me and others to panic, but not Burl. He held us at our firing positions, barking orders to stomach the gas and to focus on our front to protect the landing zone. The CS gas soon dissipated, and we were able to complete the mission. That day wasn't the first time that Burl had faced combat hazards with such heart. On Hill 902, during the early morning of July 2nd of 1970, the NVA attacked Charlie Company's 1st and 2nd platoons. Of that battle, the Firebase Ripcord Association says, "When the small arms and RPG fire began, Charlie Company reacted. Men fought like demons." One of those men was Burl. According to eyewitness accounts, I understood he was put in for a Silver Star for his actions. In the fall of 1970, on a moonless black night somewhere between Firebase Rakusan and the Songbo River, Burl sat at his NDP fighting position doing two hours of guard. When his time to sleep arrived, he woke up this new guy manning the same position. Before retiring to his poncho liner for sleep, Burl stepped to the side of the nearest tree to relieve himself. The groggy new guy peered through the gloom at Burl and thought he was seeing the NVA on attack. So he clicked on his M16 to rock and roll and fired the entire magazine at Burl. He missed. Barely 3 feet away stood Burl, and he missed. Of course, the rest of the platoon began laying down fire to repel the NVA, who wasn't there. The platoon missed Burl, too. When daylight arrived, Burl was just his cool old self, because as he always said, "It don't mean nothing." Sergeant Albert Burl Ives was a kind, brave soul who I'll never forget. To his Currahee brothers, he will always be just Burl. That's the story of my uncle, my family. And he was one of those guys who leave no man left behind. And he fought for not only the freedom of those over here, but he fought for the rights and the freedoms of those that fell during the conflict as well. I just want to take a second, and if anybody has any family members that they'd like to remember or memorialize, you can speak up and say something if you want.
My Uncle Dave here, 38 years in the Navy.
And I've had another cousin and my grandpa also fought and served. Has anybody else got anybody they want to say or mention, memorialize today?
My dad served in the Air Force in World War II. And he was an aircraft mechanic. He served in Italy. And so I'm grateful that he wasn't in front lines, you know, I probably wouldn't be here today. A lot of people killed.
Yeah.
My daddy was he was a paratrooper in World War II. Came home. He never would talk about it. He had a big old trunk that he kept stuff in. You know, when my grandma and grandpa died, I had no idea where that stuff went. They'd been there. And on Mama's side, all my uncles was in service, but Bobby mainly, he went in 17 years old. He stayed 20 years in the Army. Got out of there, spent another 20 in the Air Force. And when he got out of there, worked at the Pentagon. So he lived that.
Wow.
Good man.
My grandpa served in World War II, and he was not on the USS Indianapolis, the one that went down, but he was on the ship that recovered them. And so he had numbers of stories about that. And I don't remember all the stories, and I don't remember all who goes to what, because, like I said, a number of my family were in the Army and such. And I know my grandpa got a Purple Heart, and I believe he also got a Bronze Star, and then my uncle got a Silver Star. And, you know, it's just sometimes we think about all the different politics that are going on and how we don't want to stand up for others and what they believe and what's different. But it's interesting how our soldiers went over there and fought so that we have the right to express whatever we want, and that's the freedom. So I appreciate all my family. I appreciate your family and your loved ones as well. So to kind of switch a little bit here, Memorial Day is specifically for the fallen, but this whole thing got me thinking about others that have given their lives or served much of their lives to give me my freedoms or to guarantee me my rights and my freedoms. And this last week, May 26th, was the one-year anniversary of when my mom died. And so obviously, while I was planning this, you know, that had a lot that I was thinking about. And I was thinking about how my mom not only just was a mom, but she fought for each of us to have every opportunity that we could to be anything that we wanted to be or be everything that we could. You know, whether it was applauding us on a dumb penmanship test in third grade or whether it was taking out of what little money she could have or she could find to fund a mission trip. You know, there's a lot of different sacrifices that my mom made, and I know a lot of emotional sacrifices as well that she made for me to be the person that I am today. And she was always mad. She was mad at God because God didn't make her a man, so she couldn't preach. But it overjoyed her to be able to have two boys that could look at going into the ministry. And so I know that she fought every day of her life so that she could secure those opportunities for us. And I know, like, a lot of us have family members or loved ones that have done the same thing and have gone out of their way to guarantee that whatever life path they feel like God has for us, or they can see that God has for us, that they will do and sacrifice everything they can for it. So I want to read a quick biography of my mom, and it was specifically centered around her being able to come down to our wedding in Rock Hill and, you know, fighting with cancer and all that. So I'll read that, and then I have one more biography after this. This is a publication by Harbor Hospice. I think it's called Touching Lives. It's a Michigan branch of hospice. The article is called A Dream to Dance. It was her dying wish, a mother's unfulfilled dream. When Doreen Rotier entered into the care of Harbor Hospice earlier this year, she told everyone she had one last request in life. She wanted to be at her son's wedding in April. At first, this seemed impossible. Diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer in 2011, which spread to her lungs, Doreen was frail and very aware that she was running out of time. "I'm not afraid of dying, not at all. I know I'm going to heaven," she said just days before the wedding. "But I have to do this one last thing." She had to dance with her son, Gary, whom she called GW, to the song she'd sung to him since childhood, "Have I told you lately that I love you?" at his reception. The people of Harbor Hospice listened, really listened to her. The very first time we met, she told me about the wedding, said Amy, her Harbor Hospice social worker. That's how important it was. Instead of listing all the obstacles why Doreen and her husband Gary couldn't travel from their home in Fremont, Michigan to the wedding in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Amy sprang into action to make Doreen's dream come true. Amy applied to the Dream Foundation in Santa Barbara, California, a national organization that grants adults their final wishes, for help with 2 round-trip plane tickets. Every year, the foundation finances 2,500 dreams. In April, they fulfilled Doreen's. Divine intervention, she said. God was all around. It definitely was a group effort to get her to South Carolina. Doreen's hospice nurse, Lynn, took care of a ton of details, like arranging the wheelchairs in the airport and on the plane and at the hotel. CareLink in Grand Rapids provided a weekend supply of oxygen. The Hilton Garden Inn in Rock Hill provided room and transportation to the dress rehearsal and reception free of charge. Doreen's dear friend, Susan Reagan, went shopping for the perfect mother of the bridegroom's dress in a shade of blue that complemented Doreen's beautiful red hair and flawless complexion. There was one last hurdle. Would Doreen be well enough, strong enough, to go? No one who knew her doubted it for a minute. I knew God planned it, she said. We could see God in every moment. At every turn, Doreen and those close to her also witnessed Harbor Hospice's philosophy firsthand. Being in hospice care is not about the end of life. It's about life until the end. This is about life now, Amy said. And so the Rotier family was all gathered together on April 18th. GW and his wife Cindy, Doreen and Gary, and their younger son Aaron. The people there didn't know whether to cry or cheer as mother and son danced. So they did both at the same time. I think they knew my story, Doreen said, and clearly saw her heart. She is just a dear spirit, Lynn said. Just to see her face when she talks about the wedding or when she looks at the pictures, it touches my heart. She touches my heart. A woman of deep faith, Doreen has had more than her share of challenges, however. The Rotier's firstborn child, a daughter they named Leah Marie, died in infancy, a loss she carried with her always. At the height of her career, first as an interpreter for the deaf and hard of hearing, then as a wedding planner, Doreen was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. The chronic condition riddled her with pain and robbed her of energy. But typical Doreen, friends said, she started a support group in the Fremont area for others with fibromyalgia. She just gives and gives and gives, her friend Susan said. This lady is something else. She has unfailing generosity. Carolyn Dagan, a neighbor who is a member of Faith Baptist Church, as are the Rotiers, described Doreen as a lighthouse beaming on the hill. Both Carolyn and Susan visited their friend as often as they could, helping with arrangements before the wedding, reveling in the details later. Drawn to that inner light, hoping for one more conversation. Susan fixed a place for Doreen's hospital bed on her porch, overlooking Fremont Lake, where she could see the water and wildlife, the great blue herons, swans, and ducks. This is life, Doreen said one day when they were visiting. She was in bed, fatigued, but determined to tell the story of the wedding and the people who made it happen. I just feel like this is something phenomenal, Doreen said. This is a journey we took together. Doreen died 5 weeks later at home with family and friends surrounding her with love and prayer. Her son Gary says that she had a deep faith and is now with her Savior and best friend, Jesus Christ. A celebration of her life was held in early June and continues in her family's hearts. My mom gave a lot. And I know as we think back to each of our moms, they gave a lot. One thing that my mom made sure she gave me was the passion to follow God. And I don't know if your loved ones or your parents were saved, or if you have adopted spiritual parents. But I know that looking back on how she loved me and my dad and my brother, there is no doubt in my mind that she sacrificed more than we could ever understand to make sure that we were where God wanted us to be and that she was there to give us everything that God wanted us to have. So I know Memorial Day isn't really, you know, she never fought in the Army. She had family in the Army and in the military, but she fought in God's Army for me. And I'm sure that she had a lot of late night battles with God in prayer for Aaron and I and my dad. And so this last week and tomorrow and that, I'm going to be including her in memorializing her. And I would encourage you to think back over the people who fought for you in God's Army and prayed battles for you as well. I have one more biography that I want to read, and I'm going to use my mom's Bible to do it, but it's in Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm not going to break this down, and I'm not going to, you know, explain a lot of it. I'm just going to kind of read through it. It's the biography of Christ. And I think that it's clear here, but Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read the whole chapter. Christ gave a sacrifice for us because we were nothing. And God requires perfection to get into heaven. And obviously, if you're honest with yourself, or even if you're not, you'd be lying. None of us are perfect. And therefore, God will not let any of us into heaven. But because of Christ, and He died for our freedom, our spiritual, eternal freedom, to be in heaven with God. Isaiah 53, verse 1 said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And to finish, I want to turn to Romans chapter 5 and read a couple verses there. This is, you can just go right on reading it. Between these two, it just continues right on. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Because of everything in Isaiah 53, that he took our iniquities and our transgressions and sacrificed himself for us. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, because of that, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So not only do we have that eternal freedom to live in heaven with God because of His sacrifice, but then in verse 3 it says, and not only also, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man even some dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In the last three verses of the chapter, in verse 19, chapter 5 in Romans, says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That passage, again, Isaiah talks about how He took our place. He took our sins and our marks on the chalkboard of God's scoreboard. You know, perfect is over here, sinner is over here. And we had all these marks of how many times we've sinned and how many iniquities, how many stains we've put on that chalkboard. But Christ took that and He covered that with His blood and His sacrifice so that we can be moved to be seen as righteous through Christ. And that's where Romans chapter 5 says, by one man, you know, Adam introduced sin into the world in the garden, but by one man, by Christ and His obedience, then we are given that opportunity for God to see us righteous. So today, and I know it's a different type of service or a different type of preaching, but I just wanted to talk through three different biographies of people who have loved me and who have cared for me, whether they had a personal relationship, you know, a one-on-one physical relationship with me or not. I really never remember my uncle. To be honest, PTSD set in on him, and he lived in Texas, and we never really saw him. I remember him once as a kid. But if I remember him personally or not, he fought for my freedoms. And he gave his life, even what he had as his living life, he sacrificed all that for our freedoms. my mom gave so many things and so many times for my freedoms and my abilities to be the person that I am today. And obviously Christ gave everything from being on God's right hand, coming down and sacrificing everything he had to stand up for you and put himself in between you and the wrath of God and said, no, I will take the punishment. I will take the blame. I will take hell for them. So as we have Memorial Day tomorrow, it is a day specifically set aside to memorialize those that have gone on in the U.S. military to fight for our freedoms. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to forget everything else and everybody else. As the rest of this week goes on, remember your loved ones. You know, Father's Day is coming up. I have grandfathers that aren't here anymore. You know, they've done things for me. My mom's birthday is coming up again. You know, another time to memorialize everything she's done for me. I guess the key is, you know, somebody said, if those that don't remember history are bound to repeat it. So let's remember what our loved ones have done for us. Let's remember the sacrifices that people have done for us so that we don't have to do the same thing. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.